Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to a brand new edition of Bid Nerds. I say good morning. I don't know. A lot of people watch this in the evening. They watch it some other time in the middle of the night on the other side of the world and in New Zealand and stuff. Shout out to our good guy, Ross, man. He's a swell fella, ain't he?
Yep.
We got Absolutely. A lot of great peeps in the Bid Nerd herd, man. You guys are rocking it, and we really, really appreciate you guys spreading the word. And we also, you know, I'm noticing a lot of the nerd herd migrating and checking out our other channels like the Rami Show and Derfossa Nation and the Dirt Eye Portia podcast. So we really appreciate you guys spreading the love there as well.
That makes you the Thanos of the Derfossa Nation universe.
It is a small ecosystem. It's kind of like, it's like, you know how there's the big universe and then there's the idea that, you know, space and time is relative. So no matter how big the universe is, if you can go outward, you can also go inward. So like our little Derfossa Nation ecosystem, our little universe is like a teeny little speck on your butt. That's where our universe lives. But thanks for being part of it, guys. We do appreciate that. All right. Welcome to Bid Nerds, your daily nerd out on the most interesting car of the day from all the auction sites. Shout out to our good friends over at Godden Classic. My name's John Polnick, as well as my partner, Michael Deeb, in San Francisco. I'm in Las Vegas. Michael Deeb, interesting car today, right?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a whole week of this. All right. So I know that when these episodes drop, Lufthansa Colt 9 will be in our rearview mirrors. But for us, it's the week of as we're preparing for these cars that are going to close later this week and over the weekend. And so we have curated all Porsches this week. And so I'm very excited to bring essentially cars, John, that are cars that you and I would essentially cut off our pinky toes to own or drive for a period of time. All the cars this week are awesome, starting with this 2007 Porsche 911 Turbo Coupe on Cars and Bids. Our car has just 20,000 miles and is offered for auction out of King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. And what makes this car so special and so interesting is the fact that it is a 6-speed manual. It is painted Atlas gray metallic. Yours truly is one of his favorite colors on the sort of modern 911s, if you were. And this car has an option that I think is paramount. When you get a GT3 or a turbo, it has to have adaptive sports seats. And it's amazing to me how many people will spend $130,000, $150,000, $200,000 brand new, you know, 10, 15 years ago on a 911 turbo and not get the best seats available. Like, how would you skimp on the seats? It doesn't make any sense. Well, the guy who bought this car did not. They're in there and the car looks stunning. And so this is just a really clean example of a car that's gone up in value and they're getting harder and harder to find when they tick all the right boxes. Low miles, beautiful paintway. It's not black or silver, which I think is kind of boring, although my partner loves black and puts black stickers on it, makes black look good. I kind of refuse to drive a black car, but this Atlas gray with the sports seats and the manual, John, this is a great car for us to start the week. This one gets my right foot thumping like a thumper. So 480 horsepower, 460 pound-foot of torque, all-wheel drive. It's a Metzger engine. I didn't read the comments long enough or far enough down to see if they pinned the lines. It wouldn't bother me if they did or they didn't. I think this car is going to represent still kind of a tremendous value because of how fast they go. But they're moving up all the time. And this one for sure is going to break $100,000. So, JP, I will send this back to you and tell me what you like and tell me what you don't like. I know you don't – Atlas Gray doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't move the needle. Whereas for me, Atlas Gray is pegging it off the rev limiter. 20,000 miles too low for you? Would you want one with 60 and save the money? I think you would. I got to answer my own question.
No, I mean, this car is perfect. It's ready to go. It's got all the things. I don't dislike the color. It's just not my favorite color. I mean, would I prefer black? Sure. Would this color be fine? Absolutely. I mean, it's got all the great stuff. It's stitched and everything. Which you're saying that they have the sport bucket seats?
No, adaptive sports seats are on this car, but the other option is to not pay like whatever $1,800 for the seats and just get the standard seats. And I don't like the standard seats in a car that has this much ability around corners. I think you're you're missing out on the most essential part of your interaction with the car.
But this car has it, though, is what you're
this
saying.
This car has adaptive sports seats. Yeah.
These are the right seats. That's what I said. Okay. Yeah. No, this car really, I mean, it's got all the right. Yeah, boy,
Carbon,
they spent
Alcantara.
Some money on options on this car. It reminds me of, I remember when these came out, a buddy of mine bought one. They had it shipped to him, and the delivery guy brought it to his cul-de-sac, and the delivery guy was by himself. So he had my buddy climb up in the car. It was on top of the rack with no other cars on the rack, right? So my buddy gets up there.
No way.
You know, the battery was dead, and the car rolled right off the truck because, had no brakes, basically, without being, that happened. He fell off the back of a delivery truck being in the car. I don't know why. Every time I see a 997, I always think of that story. But, man, this really is kind of... I don't know how many times I've said this really is the perfect car, but this really is the perfect car. It does... everything. And it's not gonna be absurdly expensive. This car is going to be expensive. It's a low mile 2007 997, you know, turbo with a manual, which is a rare bird, but it's not gonna be like, you know, the cost of a brand new turbo. And I would rather have this car than a brand new 992 turbo any day. Like, I'd rather have this car.
I just want to jump in because I don't always agree with Doug, but he says in his little paragraph bio about the car, he said he loves the 997, and this one is a clean design that has aged well, and it's far more nimble to drive than the current 911. And that's a profound statement because it's true. Have you seen the width of a current 911, let alone a turbo? They are huge cars. And I never, you know, I always thought the 997 was a big car compared to a long hood. Well, now the 997 is dwarfed by the size, the absolute girth of a 992. And when I read that, I was like, man, that's a very interesting take. And I'd say it's probably damn true. So, I want a 997, and this car would be a great one to keep. GT3s, even .1 GT3s have gotten ridiculously expensive. But these cars, I think, still prove to be a pretty badass value in the 997 sort of anthology. And I would love to have one, and this car ticks all the boxes for me.
Well, the 997 particularly, I mean, the turbo 911 has always had a little bit more creature comforts. You know, the GT3s and the RSs and stuff have always been more race prepped. So that's why this car is kind of the best of all worlds, and why the new version of the turbo, once you hit the 991 and even the late 997s, you know, they're almost, well... the late 997s, most of them were PDK. I mean, there's literally like a handful of manual ones in the .2s. And all the 991s and all the 992s are all PDK. Great. PDKs are fine. Super terrific. You know, they're faster, all the things. But, I mean, if you want that car that does it all, this one is comfortable, it's absurdly fast, and it's nimble, and you still row your own gears. But it's not like it's difficult to row your own gears in this thing. I mean, you could be stuck in traffic with this clutch and not have, like, a leg. Coming... I'll act like this is after Luftkult. I drove all the way to your restaurant and thought my left leg was going to, you know, fall off going up and down all the hills in San Francisco. So yeah, if you had to have just one Porsche, is this not it, Michael Deeb? I don't know.
Yeah,
the big question is how much would that cost you, right?
Right. Well, yeah. So you and I last week, we covered that beautiful 996 Turbo S cab that was on Marked and unfortunately failed to sell. Yeah. But when we covered it, we both looked at each other through the camera and we're saying, God, if you had to have one Porsche for the rest of your life, a 996 Turbo S cab could be that car and you wouldn't feel like you were losing out on anything, you know. And this car, I would say, fits that same mold where if you had to have one car, this could be a single 911 for the rest of your life. This could be the car, and you'd be very happy camper forever and ever. So, John, with just a couple of days to go, our car is sitting at $99,997 on a respectable 24 bids. You know, you and I always say that cars and bids shows you their hand long before the hammer closes. So with that number in mind, I'm going to say $120,000 is what this car is going to sell for on Cars and Bids a couple of days from now or this week. I send it to you, John. It's at 100 grand. I'm giving it 120 to take it home. Where are you?
Man, would this guy have been better off to wait just a couple of days? Because unlike every Luft cult prior to this Luft 9, Luft has always been exclusively air-cooled cars. I remember going to Luft cult 3, the greatest car show of all time, by the way, and being in line for some swag, and some guy, you know, in line is like, oh, what'd you drive here? And I'm like, oh, my 993. He's like, yeah, I just have a 997. I mean, he was like bummed about having a 997. That's an amazing car, right? I'm like, but this Luft is going to include water pumpers on the second day. So will that lift the value of some water pumpers? I don't know. You know, is there a Luft boost that could happen next week? Or will it even matter? I don't know. So your bid is 120. I'm with you. Platform makes the difference. If this car were on BAT and it only had 2 days left and we're at 99,000, you'd be like, holy cow, this thing could be well on its way to get to a $150, maybe $160. Cause usually 2 days out, it's got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Cars and Bids, not so much. So 120 is really hard to bid against. And I'm going to just take the over and go.
Yeah, I think you're safer on the over.
I'm going to go 130. I mean, I actually, you know, if I were being a jerk, I'd just go, you know, 129.97. But I'll give you a $10,000 spread and hope for the best. What do you guys think out there? Is this 997 poised to make the big bucks, or is there just kind of a cap on these things? Low miles, is that going to bring the dough? What do you guys think, Michael Deeb? You think?
I think this is a $130,000-$140,000 car, so I'm really betting on the platform. But it's already showing a lot of signs of life, so we'll see what happens. The market is soft, but is it soft for a low miles pristine 997 turbo with a manual? Maybe not. And if this car brought 150, I wouldn't be surprised. But I have a sneaky suspicion you're on the right side of me, and maybe we straddle the result, and then it shows that sometimes we get lucky.
It's a blue chip car for sure. There's nothing weird. There's no, like, you know, what did we talk about that 997 GT2 on the crap platform, and it had like a gajillion over revs and stuff like that. There's
no mention of
that stuff on this thing. This is the one you want, not that beat up modded goof. Even though it was a GT2, I'd way rather have this car. That's a lot fewer miles, and you know, it just wasn't. Beat the hell out of it. What do you guys think? What's going to be the result of this 997 Turbo? Is this the best car ever? Are there better cars for the money? Let us know in the comments below, and we will find out right after this. Hey guys, I got to tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you've got to call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. Talk about Luft cult a lot. We had Patrick Long on the show a couple episodes ago. I like to find, you know, beef everywhere we can. It's just kind of like an old Wendy's commercial. There's some ish going on right now, because every time Luft cult comes up, it's kind of like the film festivals. What is it?
Sundance,
and you got Slam Dance and all the other ones. Yep. You know, Luft cult's kind of cultivated all these other events that happen around it. And then you get all these different bodies that are like, there's all this political posturing, everyone trying to like, oh, come to our event, or no, you come to our event. And, you know, so this year it's no different, being in San Francisco. All right, guys, welcome to the future. How are you? Luft cult is in the past. We were there, Luft 9. Do you have a good time, Michael Deeb?
Oh my God, dude, it was amazing. What a great, just everything worked out. And just so you know, when you guys left town, it's pouring rain now.
Oh, that's good. So, weather was perfect when we were there.
Yeah, it was awesome. Everything worked out, even the weather.
Nice. You know, and that's a thing. So you've got your big puffy jacket on again. I was thinking you'd be, you know, wearing your Luft sweatshirt or something like that, but Now we're back to talking about what we're going to name that your studio. One of them was Room Room was an option, and Room Ice Room. House, and I think there's some pretty good suggestions. We got to name the Deeb Studio. You guys got to help us out there in the Nerd Herd. How many, man, we saw a lot of Nerd Herds, members of the Nerd Herd at Luft Colt 9. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's just everything about it was epic. Huge success. And I think a bit of a surprise, but we'll talk about it later. So good stuff.
All right. Well, let's get to the results of this 2007 Turbo 911. So super quick recap, because everyone else was just there, but it's been a week since we've seen this. So what do you got, Michael D? What happened with this Turbo?
JP, on Cars and Beads, it's just the 20,000-mile 2007 997 Turbo with a 6-speed manual in Atlas Gray. Beautiful car, sports seats, stick shift, everything you'd want. I said $120,000, slightly betting against the platform and thinking about the economy at large. You said $130,000, and JP, you start off the week with a bang because you were just $3,000 away from a Yahtzee. Our car sold for $132,999 on a whopping 35 bids on Cars and Bids. So that's a big, huge success to everyone involved except this guy. So I'm the only loser in this deal. Doug won, the buyer won, the seller won, you won. Everybody gets a Bid Nerd sticker except me. I got nothing. There you go.
We have Bid Nerd stickers now, by the way.
Did they arrive? Were they show up?
They arrived, yeah. So we ordered, like 1,000 stickers before Luft Colt. And they were there at the time of this recording. Basically, they were Monday, the day after Luft Colt. So thanks, sticker, whatever company, you suck.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about getting stickers to all the Nerd Herd out there pretty shortly. All right. Well, so, what do you think of that, Deeb? What do you think of the results?
So I'm impressed that Cars and Bids got what I think is pretty much a retail number. I would say this, and it's not a knock or a condemnment of Cars and Bids. I just think that, this car ticks every box. And I think that there might have been a couple dollars more for it on Bring a Trailer. But not to the point where I think the seller is going to lament, I would have got 150 if I went to BAT. I don't think that's the case. But this car might have seen 135. Close to $140,000 on BAT because it's such low miles. It's got all the right options, and it's a proper color for that car. So I think it would have maybe a couple more dollars, but this guy probably got it up with Cars and Bids in no time and got his money. And I think that's a retail number, low retail number, but a retail number all the same.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it, obviously I didn't think it was a low retail number. I think that was pretty much on. The thing that's interesting here is that, like you just said there, is that he was able to probably get this onto the platform really quickly and see the money. I mean, this is a dealership that's selling this. So, everyone was able to realize the sale fairly quickly, and that is the number one problem with BAT. Is that it just takes so long to ingest your car into their system, get it through screening, and then get it up for sale. Chances are you'll get the most money for it there. But that delta, how much more money would this car really have brought on BAT? I don't know, man. I just don't think it would have brought any more money. Maybe a couple thousand bucks.
I think $5,000 to $7,000, maybe, but whatever. Not enough that I think he regrets selling it with Cars and Bids. I think they're happy with that number. A great car and a very decent result for Doug DeMiro. I think that's impressive. I think they did good.
Well, we hung out with Frank Harrington from he's working with Doug DeMiro now, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. He's going to find out if they'll grant him permission to come on here and talk candidly with us. We'll get Frank Harrington of another Pointless podcast, another Pointless Automotive podcast, who are out in the East Bay here in the Bay Area, and see if we can get him on as a guest and tell us more about the goings on. Because the first thing they did, Doug DeMiro, when he got that money, was hire a new CEO to run the company. And as such, they're trying to make some changes and step up their game. And hiring Frank was part of that. So, yeah, good stuff coming down the pike.
Right on. What do you guys think of the results of this car? This looks like a car that we would have seen on the water side, the air and water side, the second day of Luft Colt. There were a lot of really great water pumper cars that you don't necessarily see all the time. So that was kind of cool. This car definitely would have been something that you would have seen there, right?
Yeah, day two had some really cool, there were campers on a bunch of 996s. There were a lot of safari cars. There was a lot of cool stuff. Yeah, yeah, day two was really thinking outside the box, and it was, I think they did a really good job with it. I was impressed, and it was just felt a little more casual too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right. Well, what do you guys think of the results of this? Let us know in the comments below. We are super excited. We do have some stickers, so we'll announce something here soon on how to get those stickers to you guys in the Nerd Herd, especially you guys who have been there with us for quite a while now. We're getting really close to 1,000 subscribers, so we are on that push. We're just like, I don't know, like 100 and something away from 1,000. So that's pretty darn good, I think. Let's see if we can't make that happen by the end of the month or maybe by the end of the week. I don't know. Let's figure it out. The Nerd Herd is doing the work, and we appreciate you guys. We will see you tomorrow or something like that? Because we do this pretty much every day. Get those nerds!